All right. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce a young man I just met recently, but I actually, the first time I met him, he was about that big. I went to Bible college with his daddy, and his dad was a great soul winner, a great staff member of the church we were at. And so it's a blessing to see a second generation that just wants to serve God. So I'm introducing Jeremiah Hershberger.
So good to be here with you tonight, and I just want to say thank you to Landmark Baptist Church for your, and for the Morgan, for the Parsons, for the invitation. I got to listen in to a little bit of yesterday morning service and enjoyed the message, and we were in Georgia at the time, and thankful we could drive down today. And I'm going to go ahead and share just a minute and then show my presentation video, but our family has a ministry called Serving God's Servants, and God burdened my heart. I was a pastor's son. My dad was a pastor for about 4.5 years, and then I left for Bible college, and shortly thereafter, my parents divorced, and I saw some of the pressures that they faced and other things, and the pressures that many of our pastors and missionaries and church planters face, and God, over the years, as I served underneath my pastor there in Heber Springs, Arkansas, Tim Crumpton, for 10 years, and I saw the weight that many pastors face, and even then went overseas some on some missions trips and saw the loneliness many of our missionaries can have, or the need may come for a health furlough or other different opportunities, maybe a new church plant, different things where more help's needed than just the missionary himself can do. And yes, home churches can send help, and that's wonderful, but sometimes you might just need a man and a family that will come alongside him and lift up his hands for a period of time. And so the whole purpose of our ministry is to come alongside pastors, missionaries, and church planters and lift up their hands for periods of time and give them a period of rest and encouragement. And we do that in lots of different ways. We say ministry, music, maintenance, and media. Sometimes I like to encourage everyone here, every young man, every young lady here, God will give you different abilities. And I know that different times I ask myself, why can't I just be kind of one thing, like just assistant pastor or just this or just that? But you're doing all kinds of things and you learn all kinds of things. And then this past year, as I was overseas helping a missionary there, I started doing basically everything I had ever done in my life, trying to help him, whether it be plumbing, electrical, painting, pressure washing, preaching, teaching, discipleship, everything that you can imagine. I got to do it, and the Lord showed me there was a purpose behind it all. So I'd like to encourage you tonight. God gives you different abilities. Use them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to go ahead and share the presentation video, and I'll share a little bit more after that.
We all are only given so much time. What will we do with that time? How will we invest that time? Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
We, the Hershberger family, desire to invest our time into serving God's servants. God has greatly burdened us to help and encourage pastors, church planters, and missionaries who are faithfully proclaiming the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. In America today, many pastors and churches are hurting. A recent Barna research poll concluded that only 6% of Americans actually have a biblical worldview. 71% fewer missionaries are being sent worldwide compared to 1950. And 38% of pastors are thinking of quitting the ministry. At least 14 churches are closing their doors every week. And only 1 out of every 10 pastors will actually retire being a pastor. And on the mission field, many missionaries get to the field and have periods of difficulty, or as God blesses, there are times of great harvest in their ministry where additional help is needed. Currently, the average time our missionaries actually spend on the field before returning permanently to the United States is only 7 years.
When Israel was fighting the Amalekites, the Israelites were winning as long as Moses held up the rod of God. In Exodus 17:12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
God has burdened my family to be a Barnabas, or Aaron and Hur, that comes alongside pastors, missionaries, and church planters to encourage them and give them periods of help and rest. Whether it be filling a pulpit for a pastor to take a needed rest, filling in for a missionary for a time of furlough, assisting with maintenance-type building projects, singing, or assisting churches with building a website and training their people to maintain it. There are endless opportunities to assist churches today, but our main focus will always be the encouragement of God's servants and lifting up the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hello, my name is Matthew Shields, a missionary in the country of Aruba. The Hirschberger family came to help us this year, 2022, for a period of about 4.5 months. At first, they were here in our place, preaching and ministering to our people in our absence. And then we were able to come back and work alongside the Hirschberger family for a few months. And we want to praise the Lord for their ministry. They have been a huge part of our ministry in the last few months. What I would say when I think about the Hirschberger family is they have been a time of refreshment. They have been a blessing to our people, a blessing to our ministry. The preaching, the teaching, the singing, the working, discipleship. We have been able to work side by side and relate in about every aspect. We would highly consider having them back, and we would encourage you to support their ministry.
Hey, I'm Pastor Tim Crumpton from Cleaver County Baptist Church, Heber Springs, Arkansas. And Hirschbergers have been with us for 10 years and have been just tremendous. They've, of course, he ran our Christian school and run our recovery ministry and was handyman around here, taught Sunday school, sang, run our music. And but now they're going into full-time. On the road, helping church plants, ministries, rebuilds, projects, the family sings, and so they'll be raising support as they go, but we highly recommend them here at Cleveland County Baptist Church. We love them, and they'll serve you well.
May we all use our time wisely to invest in the things that matter for eternity. Please pray for our family as we serve our King and serve God's servants.
Our goal is to return to Aruba to continue to assist Brother Matthew Shields in June of next year. Right now, we're currently on deputation. We were overseas 4.5 months there helping him on 2 different trips last year. And by the time we finished that, we realized this is what God wanted us to do with the rest of our lives and just come alongside men like him. He currently is pastoring 3 churches, just has a great vision to get the gospel on that small island, 6 miles wide by 19 miles long. There's 110 nationalities and 150,000 people. And so a wonderful opportunity. He's led many people to Christ from different nationalities, and some of those have returned home and are now assistant pastors in Venezuela and other places. And it's just incredible to see the opportunities that there are for the gospel all around the world. And also helping here. We can look at the news today and kind of get discouraged about different things, but the gospel is going forward. More people are trusting Christ. We have work to do. And God has a place for each and every one of you in his work if we'll just serve him with a humble heart. And our desire is to go out and serve him and serve God's servants. This is my wife, Amber, if you don't mind standing for just a second. My wife, Amber, and my kids there beside her. Yes, we do have 7 kids, and yes, they do go with us everywhere we go. And somebody might say, you know, how did you afford to go on those trips last year? Before at that time, we were not supported at all other than our home church. And you know, the government decided to send us a bunch of money because we had a bunch of kids during COVID. And so the government funded us in 2022, and we're thankful for that. But by the end of that, we decided we needed to raise support. And so currently we're on deputation, and God's been very good to us. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If you would, let's stand together as we read God's word. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse number 22, says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you tonight. I need you tonight. Lord, we can do nothing in our own strength and our own power. Lord, there's a great work to do. There's much to do for you, but oh, how we need you, and we need a touch from you. Lord, the song was sung tonight, how can we reach a world we never touch? Lord, may we open our eyes to the need all around the world for the gospel to go out. And Lord, may we reach toward you and ask you for another touch, another pouring out of your spirit, pouring out of your power so that that can happen and so that you can work in our lives. Lord, we need you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If we were to look back, just to give a little context here, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had just calmed the storm. And in the beginning of Mark chapter 5, Jesus cast out the legion of demons into the pigs, and they had run off the cliff. And that demon-possessed man was now clothed and sitting in his right mind at Jesus' feet. And of course, that man wanted to follow Jesus. He said, "Let me come with you." And Jesus said, "No, go home to thy friends. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And he went back and told a city about Christ, and a great revival came the next time Jesus came to town. But we're going to look here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, and I want to begin tonight by asking two questions. The first question is, how powerful is God? How powerful is God? And then secondly, I want to ask you this question: have you touched him lately? And I'm going to explain that in just a moment. Have you touched him lately? And we're going to get the context for that question as we look through this passage. How powerful is God? And if we ask that question, of course, it's kind of silly. It's like, well, of course, he's all powerful. God has all power. But yes, he created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the oceans. But even when Jesus was here on earth, how much power did he have? He's all God and all man. How much power did he have here on earth? In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." In Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, "So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." In Luke chapter 7 and verse 14, "And he came and touched the bier," or a coffin, "and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise." So Jesus walks up to the bier, which would have a coffin on top, basically, and he touches that, and then speaks and says to the young man, "Arise." And that dead young man got up. How much power does God have? He's all powerful. He's all powerful. Jesus Christ is all powerful. But yet in our lives, many times we don't see his power. Let's be honest. Let's think about it. How many times do we go days, weeks, months, even years without seeing God work in a miraculous and powerful way? It's not that he has to work in a miraculous way. It's not that we have to see him heal people. It's not that we have to see him do those miraculous things. But he does have that power. And how much do we actually see him do those things? I love reading the old missionary stories, and I don't get to read a whole lot, but I read a book the other day, and it was talking about these missionaries over in China, and boy, different things that took place. They got to see God's miraculous hand over and over and over again, and it just stirred my heart. What about in my life? And my family and I had done the ministry that we're doing part-time for about 2 years, and it just came to the point, the burden kept growing, and our heart for our missionaries and the church planters and for the gospel to go out just kept growing and growing, and finally I just looked at my wife and I said, I don't want to have grown old and not stepped out again by faith. There were other times in my life that I stepped out by faith. When I went to Bible college, I stepped out by faith. When there were many different, as a teenager, different things we did, I stepped out by faith. And all the different things, I stepped out by faith. But as I got older, then I got comfortable. And then I knew, oh, we're going to have to lay aside some things. And it won't be the same for my kids. And it won't be the same for my family. And but God, how powerful is God? And have we seen his touch lately? Let's look at the passage here in Mark chapter 5, verse 22. It says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. We see two people in this passage of Scripture. We see both the ruler of the synagogue and the woman that had the issue of blood. And both of them recognized that they needed something from Jesus. They needed something from him. They needed something from him that they could not produce in their own power, in their own strength. The ruler of the synagogue, his daughter, lay at the point of death. Could he heal her? I'm sure he'd already called all the doctors. I'm sure he had already done, paid them everything he could, sent for the best medicines of the day. He had done all that he could, but it was beyond his control. This woman that had the issue of blood, and it's interesting how it definitely tells us she had gone to the physicians for 12 years. She had spent all of her money. She had gone through every medical procedure of the day to try to help her. Nothing could help her. They both needed something from Jesus that only Jesus could do. They needed a miraculous healing. And they both believed that Jesus would and could do what they were asking of him. We all need Jesus to do something for us that only he can do. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other name under heaven. Every person needs Jesus to do a miraculous thing in their life, and that is to make them born again. For them to receive Christ and for him to give them a rebirth through him, through the Spirit of God. We can't do that on our own. It doesn't matter where you go throughout the United States and throughout the world. I've been blessed to go to different countries as a teenager, and my family went to Africa for 3 weeks in 2018, and then we went there to Aruba in 2021. But it doesn't matter what person you're talking to and where they're from. If you ask them that question about salvation, do you know that you have eternal life, or do you know where you'll go when you die? Most of them will say, well, I hope I'll go to heaven. I hope that I'll make it. There's a man there in Aruba, and I asked him, we were at a restaurant, and he said, well, I've been told that if I follow the Ten Commandments, I'll go to heaven. But what do you think? Isn't that a wonderful thing when somebody asks you, what do you think about how to get to heaven? And I said, look, it's not going to be because of me. It's not because of me following the Ten Commandments. It's only going to be because of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He paid the price for our sin. And we need him to do something for us that we cannot do on our own. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Every person must recognize that they need a touch from God in salvation. They must come to that place where they realize they need a touch from God in salvation. They both realize this. But not only did they realize this, they both were willing to come to Jesus for that touch. They both were willing to come to him, to ask him, to seek him. Now the lady, yes, she was a little bit more scared to come to Christ than Jairus, but Jairus' need was that much greater in the sense of his daughter was about to die. He needed the help then. But they both came and really came begging. Look at the ruler of the synagogue in verse 22. It says, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. Here is the ruler of the synagogue, the leader to many people, and the person they would look up to and respect. And yet when he comes to Jesus, does he come to him? Jesus, please come heal my daughter. No, that's not how he comes to him. He falls at his feet. He beseeches him greatly, saying, please come touch my daughter. Please come heal my daughter. He doesn't care about his social status anymore. He doesn't care about how wealthy he is anymore. He comes to Christ in humility. In humility. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Both the woman and the ruler of the synagogue came to Christ, and both faced obstacles to their coming to Christ. Please don't miss this. Both of these people faced obstacles in their coming to Christ. Mark chapter 5, verse 24 says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In verse 27, it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. It came to the point where she didn't care if she even had to push people out of the way. She was going to touch the hem of his garment and get there and touch Jesus Christ. She didn't care about what it looked like anymore. She didn't care about what all the crowd thought about her. She came in and pressed, and she went through the press and touched the hem of his garment. Then the ruler of the synagogue, look with me in verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, and Jesus had just healed that woman, but while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So these men came and they told the ruler, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. Don't even try anymore. Give it up. Your daughter's dead now. It's over. Did that ruler of the synagogue have an obstacle to his faith? Absolutely. Those he trusted had told him his daughter was dead. But I'm so glad that we have a loving Savior. Look at Jesus' reaction in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. When everyone else said there's no reason to keep asking him for help, that ruler of the synagogue could have just heard what they said. He could have just given up at that moment. But he heard what Jesus said to him about, don't be afraid, only believe. And even though the obstacle of fear and the grief that I'm sure he was facing, knowing that his daughter was dead and hearing those words, he didn't let that stop him from seeking Jesus to touch him and touch the situation he faced. There are many obstacles to people believing in Jesus today. There's obstacles all around the world. For every person that you witness to, there are obstacles to their coming to Christ. their social status or what others might think or all the doubts that the world gives about science and the Bible, whether it's true or not, and all the stuff that's out there. You don't need to believe God. You don't need to follow the Bible. All that is thrown at people all the time. And I just want to stand here and say, you can trust the Word of God. All the stuff that comes out scientifically, I do like to study science some, and I like to share this because, you know, if you watch any history channel or science channel, you're going to get the millions of years and all that stuff. But if you actually watch what they're putting out, the scientific community today, it says, we're rethinking human evolution. We're rethinking amphibian evolution. We're rethinking mammal evolution. We're rethinking every kind of evolution they can ever come up with. Why are they rethinking it? Because it's just a theory. Science is observable and repeatable. That's not science. That's a theory. The Word of God tells us how God created the heaven and the earth. You don't have to follow all that stuff. Believe the Word of God. It's trustworthy. There are so many obstacles, and sometimes, and I'd encourage you, when someone says, well, I believe in evolution, don't just smack them up the face. Talk to them a little bit about it. Show them what the Word of God says. Well, God says He created the heavens and the earth. And when I look at this earth and I see how incredibly designed it is, that didn't just come about by accident. That's an all-powerful creator that made it. The God of the Bible made it. And there are obstacles that everyone around us face to coming to Christ. But these two people we see in the passage tonight, they didn't let the obstacles stop them from coming to Christ. What about the woman? Was she healed? Yes, she was. The woman was healed. Her issue of blood was instantly healed when she touched Christ. Look at verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said in her, daughter, thy faith, notice he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She was healed. What about the ruler of the synagogue? Even though the people mocked Jesus when Jesus said the girl wasn't dead, Jesus put all the naysayers out and he sent them all out. And then look at verse 41 with me. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 41, it says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Both these people came to Christ and asked Christ to touch their situation. And the woman was healed. And what I love about Jairus is Jairus was not asking Jesus for himself. Notice the difference. Many times I ask Jesus to touch a situation specifically for me in my own heart, my own life. And Lord, help me to surrender more. Help me to be more loving to my kids. Help me to be a better father and a husband, things like that. But what really concerns me is my family. And I can't automatically make them do what I want them to do and what I know they need to do as they follow God. I can't make them do that. I need God to touch them in a way that only He can. And Jairus was asking Jesus not for himself, but for his daughter, for someone he loved, for someone close to him. And Jesus, because of Jairus's faith, touched his daughter and healed her. But look with me at the next chapter. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1, the story does continue when we think of the power of God and when we think about healing and faith. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Look in verse 5. It says, and he could there do no, look at this, no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Why could Jesus not do any mighty work there? Was it because he lacked the power? It wasn't because he lacked the power. It was because of their unbelief. They were offended at Jesus. These people who he had grown up with all his life, they saw Jesus. They said, we grew up with him. He's just the carpenter. How does he have this wisdom? And how can he do these mighty deeds? As if Jesus had figured that out on his own. No, Jesus was God. Jesus was all powerful. But what does it say? They were offended at him. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you become offended at God? Offended at Jesus? You might say, wait a second, surely I would not be offended at him. But they were offended at him, and they would not come to him for their needs. There were plenty of sick people there. It says he could do there no mighty work. He had just done great and mighty works to these other people. But in his own hometown, he could not do mighty works because of their unbelief, because they would not humble themselves again to Christ and seek his help. They would not reach out to Jesus. Now, because of his goodness and his mercy, he did still reach out himself and touched a few of them. But notice it doesn't say that any came to him. It says he reached out. He healed a few sick folk. Not because there were a bunch coming to him for healing, but he, in his goodness and mercy, still healed some. Now remember the two questions that I asked at the beginning of this message. How powerful is God? And have you touched him lately? Have you touched him lately? You might say, well, what does this have to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. I was praying about that because as I thought about this message, Lord, what all does this have to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. If we do not have the touch of the Lord in our lives, we will never have the power to get the gospel out to the lost. We'll never be sacrificial in our giving so that the missionaries can go. We'll never be what we need to be in our own homes if God doesn't touch our homes and help us to be what we need to be for the Lord. But have we touched him? Have we actually gone to him in need and begged him, God, I need your touch in my home. I need you to do something in my life. And you might say, but does the Bible talk about that? About asking God for a touch from him? Does the Bible talk about going to him? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To get the gospel out in the world today, we need God's touch. We need God's help. I'm sure every one of us in here have tried to go soul winning, tried to preach, tried to teach, tried to lead our families in our own strength and our own power. And how well does that go for us? We're so weak. But he is so strong. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you believe God is all powerful? Have you touched him lately? Have you requested of him lately? The world and the crowd around us gives us millions of reasons not to touch him. They give us all the entertainment we could ever want, so we're distracted from touching him. They give us all the excuses and tell us, oh, you don't need to be that kind of Christian. Don't waste your time on those kind of things. Why do you still send your money across the world so that people can trust in your Jesus? They'll give us all kinds of excuses. But oh, how we need faith like Jairus and like this woman to come and touch Jesus and ask him and say, God, I need your help. The woman with the issue of blood inspired many. I had not noticed this before. If you look with me in Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, it says, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. How did they know that if they just touched the border of his garment, they would be healed? Because of that woman's faith. And she became an example for everywhere that Jesus went, so that they would touch the border of his garment and might be healed. It says, and as many as touched him were made whole. Will you touch him again tonight? Maybe here at the altar, or maybe in your home as a family. Say, God, we need you again. We need your touch. We need you to do some things that only you can do. And I can just remember a time, and I mentioned earlier, when my parents were splitting up and I didn't know how I could ever pay for Bible college. And I just went to the Lord and cried out to him and said, and touched the Lord in prayer. I just simply asked him. I said, Lord, you know the situation. You know I don't have money to come back to Bible college next year. Even as hard as I could work, I could never make it happen. I need you to show me that you're with me. I need you. And I waited. A week went by and 2 weeks went by and I kept praying. And I'll be honest, I didn't fast 7 days. I didn't get on my knees hours every night, but just every day I'd cry out, and really it was pathetic. My effort was pathetic compared to what I should have done. But I just cried out to the Lord and said, God, I need you to do something. And I'll never forget the last day of that semester in Bible college that we could receive mail. I went to the post office box there in the college, and I stuck my key in the post office box. And I just knew it. I was like, Lord, this is it. If it was going to come, it'd come today. If you were going to send me some help, it'd come today. And I opened that box, and inside was an envelope. And inside that envelope was a check for $2,500. And right there were other people in the room, but I knelt on my knees and I thanked God and I praised him and said, thank you, God, for me seeing your power again, for me seeing that you're real again, for me. And that envelope sits in our home and it sits in a little curio cabinet in the house, and because I want my kids to ask about that envelope, and I'm going to tell them about that envelope and say, there was a time where I reached out to God and he touched me. And as good as that was, as amazing as that was at that time in my life, I need it again. And again, and again, and again. I need him to touch me. I need him to touch my family so that they'll grow up and serve the Lord. I need him to touch our ministry so that we can encourage others, so that we can maybe help a pastor to stay there pastoring his church, so we can go help missionaries and church planters plant new churches. I need his touch or it's going to be in vain. I need him. Have you touched him lately? He does want to touch us. He's a great God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you are. Lord, in my own strength, I can do nothing. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's doubting you, that's struggling. Lord, please give them the faith to look to you again and cry out to you and ask you to touch them one more time so that they can be used in your service and they can give you glory for what you do. Lord, may we not ask amiss. Lord, we don't come to you asking for a touch for our own glory, but for your glory, and so that the gospel may go forward. Oh, Father, we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Music's beginning to play. Pastor's going to come.